Just so grateful that we can gather together like this in this beautiful country of ours, Lord, in such freedom that we're able to drive here and just gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We say thank you, Father, for that privilege. And we say, Holy Spirit, you are so welcome to have your way in our midst here this morning. And again, Lord, in all that is said, all that is done, all that may be accomplished, may all the praise and the honor and the glory go to you, Lord Jesus. We just say thank you here this morning. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be here? Hey, 2026 has kicked off. Do you remember at the end of last year I spoke about New Year's resolutions? How many of you have broken yours already? How many of you decided not to have any New Year's resolutions? But folks, really a good morning to all of us. You know, it's always good to be back in our church. You know, we have been closed for a couple of weeks, and hopefully, you know, we went to other churches and, you know, we didn't neglect being exposed to the gospel. But it's always good to be here, and we're very grateful that. And really, Christian, our trust in... Sorry, is it a bit loud? Do you want to just turn the... Is that better? Christian, our trust in for a fruitful year for each and every single one of us here today. But not only for us individually, folks. We trust in for a fruitful year for us as a body of believers, for us corporately as well. And the message that I'm going to be sharing here this morning is similar to what I would have shared this time last year. And it will be similar to the message that I'll be sharing this time next year, because it's a real introduction and a good way of kicking off a new year. So the title of my message is, This is what Jesus said I should do in 2026. Tell the person next to you what the title of the message is. This is what Jesus said I should do in 2026. Now, I want to start off by asking us a question here this morning. And this question that I'm asking us is a very important question, right? It's a question that I believe that we should often ask ourselves as believers in Jesus. So you want the question? Are you ready for it? Here it comes. What is my mission now that I'm a believer in Jesus? What's my mission? I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm a child of God. What is my mission now that I'm a believer? And at the same time, we can say, what is our mission as a church, as a body of believers here at His Way? And I know, folks, people often make a big deal about mission. Is that right? Okay, sometimes you go into churches, I don't know if you've noticed, sometimes they allocate a whole wall to our mission statement. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, right? But people, you know, big mission statement on the wall, and, you know, that's fine. And as I say, we make a big deal about it, but you know what? Our mission is not complicated. It really isn't complicated. Do you know what the word mission really means? Well, let me tell you. You know how I know. You guys know me, hey? I looked it up in the dictionary. Okay? The word mission really means tasks that are put in place to fulfill a purpose. Right? Tasks that are put in place to fulfill a purpose. Now, the question then we should be asking ourselves in is, well then, you know, what is our purpose? What is our purpose as a church? And what is our purpose as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? And I've got some really good news for us here today. Very, very good news. And the good news is this, that you and I do not decide the purpose of the church. We don't decide. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and Jesus decided what the purpose of the church is a long, long time ago. Your job and my job is to find out what Jesus said the purpose of the church is, and once we know what the purpose of the church is, then go out and basically do what He's called us to do. Is that right? So our job is really just to go and discover that. And, you know, Jesus made it so easy for us. because he kind of broke it into two portions of scripture that we all know very, very well. He summarized this, you know, the purpose of the church, in what we would call the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Think about that for a moment. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Now, let me just read to you what he said. First of all, the Great Commandment is. This is Matthew 22, verse 37. And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking now, and he said to them, you, talking to us here today, shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the starting point, that we love God. This is a great and first commandment. When Jesus says this is a great and first commandment, it is not a suggestion, folks. This is an instruction from our Creator telling us what to do. It's a command. But he didn't stop there. He actually then carried on, and he said in verse 39, he said, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, on these two commandments, not suggestions, depend all the law of the prophets. So there he gave it to us, the great commandment, loving God and loving people. But he didn't stop there. Then he gave us the Great Commission. And this we all know, Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, now he's saying to us, go therefore and make disciples. Not converts. He was specific. He said, make disciples. A disciple is somebody that is trained up and is following after somebody else. Is that right? Go and make disciples, you and I. Go and make disciples of who? Of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus, you know, he was asked to identify what the most important command is. And really he responded by saying, here it is. This is the entire Old Testament in a nutshell. You know what, if we apply these, we're not, you know, people are not going to steal, they're not going to murder, they're going to have fellowship with people. I mean, this planet Earth will be like heaven, is that right? You know, you're not going to, people are not going to commit adultery if you're loving people the way you should be loving people. So that's how he responded. And really, folks, that is the entire Old Testament in a nutshell right there. And love God with all your heart, and also love your neighbor as yourself. And that's difficult sometimes. How many of you have noticed? Huh? We were talking earlier on, you know, what's happening when Jenny was sharing, what's happening, you know, on this planet at the moment. There's just disunity everywhere. Isn't that right? All over the place. So Jesus gave, you know, he gave us a great commandment. Then he gave us three more tasks by giving us the Great Commission. So he said, now, I've given you the Great Commandment, you know, to love the Lord your God and love people. And then he said, now, talking to us here today, go and make disciples. Go and baptize them. Teach them to obey all that I have taught you. Now, we need to know what he's taught us so that we can go and do what he's told us to do, go and tell other people and teach other people. Is that true? So what Jesus told them is basically the mission of the church right there. It's knowing Jesus, making Jesus known, loving the Lord with all your heart, and loving people. And folks, that's it. This is not complicated. So the 5 points that he actually gave us would be what we would call the 5 tasks that fulfill the purpose of the church. How simple is that? We just have to do 5 things. That's it, to fulfill the purpose of the church. And really, this is the mission of the church. This is your responsibility and my responsibility. And remember that you and I are the church. The building's not the church. We are the church. So let us, what I want to do right now is have a look at all of these, just these 5 points, so that we can embrace these, so that we know that we know that we know what we should be doing in 2026. Are you ready for it? First one, task that fulfills your purpose, number one, for 2026. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's a starting point, right? And I would say, folks, the word that best describes that would be the word worship. Isn't that right? Worship. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ exists to worship God. We exist to worship Him. If it wasn't about Jesus, okay, we wouldn't be gathering here today. Is that true? We gather here to worship and to exalt and to glorify our Creator. So that is, you know, why the church exists. So we love Him with all of our heart, and by loving Him with all of our heart, we are worshiping Him. So at times like this morning, we got together and wow, the praise and worship was wonderful. Worship team, I thought it was absolutely lovely, hey? But we worship Him together, and that's scriptural. And we also worship Him alone. We need to have quiet times where we engage with our Creator. And when we express, folks, when we express our love towards God, we are worshiping Him. Huh? Now, it's interesting. Jesus said, He said something very interesting in Matthew 4, verse 10. He said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Now, notice here that worship comes before service. Worship before service. Now, sometimes, folks, we get so busy. Working for God, doing things for God, doing this program and that program and getting involved in this, you know, as unto the Lord. And we get involved in that. We get so busy, with the things, with the programs and so on, that we actually don't have time to express our love towards the Lord in worship. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing those things, but if we are doing all those good things, you know, and attending all those programs and doing all those sort of things, and we don't have a relationship with the Lord, there's a problem. Jesus made it clear, you shall worship the Lord first, and Him only shall you serve. Amen. So we need to, let me make myself clear, is that it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing all of those programs and those good things and so on, but never at the expense of our relationship with our Creator. Amen. Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." So there it is, telling us that we magnify the Lord, that we do it together. And then it says, "And let us exalt His name together." So when we worship the Lord, we don't worship out of duty. We worship, folks, because we are demonstrating our love, the love that's in our heart. We are demonstrating our love towards the Lord. Amen. So it's not a dutiful thing. And if you're finding it's a dutiful thing, maybe just spend more time with Him and allow Him to minister to you, that it's something that you really, really want to do. That was task that fulfills our purpose, number one. Task that fulfills our purpose, number two, for 2026. Who knows what it is? Hey, this church is on fire. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the word that probably best describes that would be the word ministry. The word ministry. The church, and we the church exists to minister to people. That's one of the reasons why we are here. And really, ministry is a demonstration of God's love in terms of you and I meeting the needs of other people the best we can. Obviously, the focal point being the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what ministry is. And when we reach out to people, when we reach out to them, and we start to demonstrate love towards people, okay, we're just ministering to them. This is not complicated. And you know that we minister in different areas. Well, we should be. And I need to say again, that this is not, what I'm sharing here, this is not for the pastors. This is for each and every single one of us, folks, okay? So you and I are to minister to all kinds of needs of people. We minister to their physical needs. How do we do that? We lay hands on them. The Word of God says believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So when people have physical needs, they may be ill, we lay hands on them and they will recover. We minister to the emotional needs of people as well. You might find that somebody's feeling really down and maybe depressed. Well, how do you minister to them? You can, first of all, you know, go to them and pray for them and encourage them. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So that there's a freedom, there's a release of God's freeing anointing released into that person. And we might also say to them, if they're having emotional, maybe it's depression, whatever it is, the Word of God says, put on the garment of praise. The garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So we minister to their emotional needs as well. We minister to their spiritual needs. Folks, there's a lost and dying world out there, and people need a Savior. So we minister Jesus, you know, to people at every opportunity, and we do it with wisdom. And I'm going to show us a scripture here this morning. Because too often, you know, people think, well, believers believe that we have a right to go and hit people over the head with use the Word of God as a baseball bat. Kacha, 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 you know. And that does it. No, it doesn't. God tells us how we do it. And I'll give you a scripture just now. But we minister to their spiritual needs in terms of salvation, receiving Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Huh? Isn't that important? Helping them to develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And also we can minister to their relational. How many know that people have relational issues? How many of us know that in the Word of God, there are so many scriptures that speak about this? And as believers, if we know the Word of God, we can go and minister to people's relational issues. You know, and you might talk about unforgiveness, you might, whatever, as the Lord leads you in all of that. That we are those that are able to assist people in terms of where there are relational issues and friction and so on. And, you know, Jesus actually said that even a cup of cold water given in his name is ministry, and that it would not go unrewarded. Isn't that incredible? Ephesians 4:12, to equip the saints. Now, the previous verse talks about the fivefold ministry, right? So it talks about, you know, pastors and teachers and evangelists and all of those and the apostles and so on. But folks, that doesn't mean that you and I should not be, how can I say, involved in the extension of God's kingdom. That we shouldn't be involved in interacting with people. Verse 12 says, to equip the saints, the saints need to be equipped for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And folks, we need to do this individually. We need to do this corporately, and we need to do this individually as well. You might say, well, you know, I can't, you know, how do I do this? Maybe you need to be sitting, you know, this person sitting next to you that is a baby Christian and you are a mature Christian. What about mentoring somebody? Just meeting somebody for a cup of coffee and, you know, they can share, you know, what their struggles are, and you as a stronger believer are able to share and speak into their lives and encourage them and mentor them in the things of God. I'm just throwing things out here. Right? This thing of faithfulness, it really should be defined as service to the body. Tell the person next to you, faithfulness should be defined as service to the body. Right? And not just church attendance. You know, people say, well, I go to church, I'm faithful. Well, thank you. I'm so happy you warm up a pew every Sunday and do nothing else. Right? Be so excited. We'll allocate a pew to you that you can warm up every Sunday, and that's your contribution. That's facts. I'm not, the word is clear. Do not neglect the gathering together of the saints. But it shouldn't just be where we see ourselves as faithful because I go to church on a Sunday morning. There's more to this walk and our relationship with our Creator than just pulling in, you know, sitting in a pew, hearing a message, going home, and then coming back next week. There has to be more than that. And there is. So faithfulness should be defined as service to the body. How can we serve one another? I was thinking about this. You know, we have tea and coffee, and people bring beautiful cakes and biscuits and so on that we have before church. How about us, when we do this, instead of getting into our holy huddle with the people that we are comfortable with, huh? You'll find, I know how the psyche works. We like to hang out with people that we know, we feel comfortable with. How's about, let's challenge ourselves for 2026, that every time we're here for tea and coffee and whatever's going on over there, that we find somebody that we don't really know. And we walk up to them, and we kind of, if you don't know their name, introduce yourself to them. And get to know other brothers and sisters. We are a family. Can you imagine being part of a family and you don't know your brother's name? I'm just saying. But folks, let's do that, right? Let's make some effort instead of just, you know, making sure that we get here. You know, all of this is set up at 9 o'clock in the morning. Let's get here at 9 and use that time from 9 to 9:30 to interact and get to know our brothers and sisters and how we can actually assist, or maybe how they can assist you. Is that good? You had to say yes, though. Okay, what number are we on? Task that fulfills your purpose, number 3, 4, 2026. And folks, remember, this is the Lord speaking to us here today. Go and make disciples, right? Make disciples. And the word that probably best describes that would be evangelism. Oh, Dave, don't talk to me about evangelism. That's not my thing. Huh? That's not my thing. Folks, this is the responsibility of each and every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. That, you know, when we leave here today, we're going to be going through these doors and exiting this place. And as we exit, we are then entering into our mission field. And I don't know if you've noticed that you spend most of your time during the day in a certain place. And you seem to go back to that place. Is that true? Huh? Is that true? You tend to go to the same place, right? Folks, I don't know if you've noticed too, there are people around you that don't know Jesus. Wherever the Lord has placed us, that we have a sphere of influence. We can actually, and we do it right, and again, I'll get to just a scripture just now. We do it right, but we need to be those who are opening up our mouths and telling them about our beautiful, wonderful Savior. Huh? We need to be doing that. Do you know that research shows that close to 80% of people that get born again, people that get saved, people that become Christians, is as a result of somebody that they know. Someone that they know. 80%, close to 80%. And so we need to be those who are ministering to them. And if you're struggling, I mean, you might be a baby Christian. You might have only been, you know, born again for 2 months, but you're excited about the Lord. If you're struggling, bring them here. There's another, all these people here will put up their hands and mentor them. Is that right? But I'm saying, folks, we need to be doing this if you're finding that difficult. So the question is, do we, and let's be honest with ourselves, do we take every opportunity that the Lord gives us to tell people that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm just asking. Huh? Like I said, when we leave here, we're going through those, we're entering into our mission field, and we need to be bold soldiers. Do you know that you became part of the army of God when you got born again? All right? And part of it is going out there and getting the good news out there the best that we actually can. I just believe, I might be wrong, but I really do believe that all of us can do a little bit more when it comes to this. especially ministering to people that we know. Now, like I said, the Lord has actually appointed you to a specific place where you spend your day. Now, I want to ask you a question, and please don't get offended. Tell me that, Dave, you can say it, and I won't be offended. Say it. I'd like to know what percentage of us actually said that. Let me ask you this question. When you go to work, do the people that you come into contact with on a daily basis, do they know that you're a Christian? Do they know? Because when you're here in the church, everybody knows you are. I mean, I've seen you, how you raise your hands and you praise the Lord. But folks, there are too many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that are very vocal in the church, and they go into their sphere of influence, and nobody knows that they are believers in Jesus. They're like chameleons. Tell the person next to you, I'm not a chameleon Christian. That let me off the hook, eh? Folks, it's true. They go into their place of work, wherever they're spending their days, and nobody knows that they are believers, because when they're in the church, they fit into the church so well. When they fit into an environment where there are no believers maybe, they fit in there so well. Let us not be those that are like that, folks. Let us make sure that we are not just people pleasers as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need to say, it's every single Christian's responsibility to share the good news properly when we are given opportunities. And I'm sure that one day we're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account of how seriously we took our responsibilities, these things where the Lord has instructed us to do things. How seriously have we told them? And the things I'm speaking today about today, these are not the Lord's suggestions. These are His instructions to us. Okay? So each one of us, I'm sure we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account on how seriously we took this responsibility according to the commands that He gave us. So personal evangelism is not only our responsibility, but I need to say it is an incredible privilege. What a privilege that we can represent our Creator and do what He's told us to do and be successful. I'll talk about that, because He anoints us. When we open up our mouths, there's something that happens that you know, we're able to just do what He's called us to do. And also, it becomes a lot more effective when we start to minister to Jesus that we already know. I'm not saying don't minister to people that you don't know, but it's a lot easier to those people that we have some, even if it's a kind of a very, I'm going to say, shallow relationship. It's a lot easier than going and knocking on somebody's door, and they open the door, and as they open the door, you say, "My name's Dave, and I've come to tell you about Jesus," right? And they're looking at you, and they're about to slam the door, but you're smart. You put your foot in there. And you slide your foot in there between the door and the door jamb. And I'm just saying, folks. Huh? I'm not saying don't knock on doors. But maybe there's a starting point. And the starting point is, let's start to, how can I say, build up courage and speak to those people that we already know. That we know. And also, remember that Jesus wants everyone saved, without exception. That's scriptural. All people. And all people from false religions as well. He loves, Jesus created, the Lord created everyone, and He wants everyone to receive salvation. The next point, who knows what it is? Number four, yeah, okay, all right, but what is it? Your task that fulfills your purpose, number four, for 2026. Now, this is a very interesting one. This is baptizing them. Now, we see in the Word of God, it talks about going. We see that it talks about baptizing. We see that it talks about teaching. And each one of these is part of the command to go and make disciples. Is that right? Now, at first glance, you know, you might be looking at this thing and saying, hang on a second. Okay. Why is baptism included in the Great Commission? Why is baptism there? Obviously, folks, Jesus did not mention it by accident. He put it there for a reason. Jesus wants us, why it's there? Because Jesus wants us to belong and not just to believe. It's important that we believe, but we also need to belong. And Christians must not go out there and live as lone rangers. The lone ranger. Dong, 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 dong. Huh? No, we don't live as lone rangers. Oh, but brother, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. How many of you have heard that? Love Jesus. Well, okay, I better not get onto that one right now. But people come out of COVID. They got their little jammies on, their fluffy little slippers. And man, I have fellowship. I go and I turn my TV on Sunday morning and I listen to Dubedat on channel Christian, whatever it is, one. And that's where I get my spiritual input. That is where I'm growing in the things of God. I'm saying, folks, what does the Bible say? Do not neglect the gathering together of the saints. Do not start to isolate yourself from our brothers and sisters. I've said this before. I've used the example. Because your faith levels are going to take a tilt. Huh? How many of us know that when we got a braai, us South Africans know how to braai. Is that right? Yes. Billy, we know how to braai. I don't know. You're supposed to. When you look at all those red coals, huh? Man, we just can't wait to hoy that burrivors on there. And, Let me say, you go and take one of those red coal, glowing coals out of there and put it over here by itself. It goes out. It's exactly the same as people that are not, they've made the decision to not be part of the body of Christ. They want to isolate themselves, and what happens, their passion and their faith just starts to slowly die. Folks, make sure that your coal is plugged in with the rest of the coals. Amen. Don't know where that came from. Anyway. So we're talking about baptism. So we ought to belong, you know, to a family, and also we need to be members of the family as well. And folks, people in a family, I don't know if you've noticed in your family, but people in a family interact with one another. People in a family have fellowship with one another. Is that true? Have you ever sat around your dinner table and everybody is zip? My wife says yes. Okay, she's not participating here. The point is that as family, we interact, and sometimes we disagree with each other, and sometimes we get kind of wound up. But is that right? We are a body of believers. We are the family, folks. And I'm telling you, being part of a family is where we actually grow. We are stretched in certain areas. Is that true? Okay. So what I'm saying here, this baptism is really a symbol of salvation as well as of fellowship, right? It symbolizes baptism, the new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and also it is a public declaration of a person being incorporated into the body of Christ. So when we get baptized, it's a public thing. It needs to be a public thing that people know about it, because it represents the death, the burial as we go underwater, and the resurrection when we come out of that water of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many of you have been sprinkled? Maybe I should talk about this now. Okay, you don't have to put up your hands. Folks, baptism is to be totally immersed in water, number one. So we need to be totally immersed. And if you haven't been, we're going to organize a baptismal service shortly. you need to be baptized. And baptism is not a suggestion, it's an ordinance. It's something we have to do. And also, if you were done as a baby, you say, yeah, but I was done as a baby. Well, even if you were totally immersed as a baby, Christian and I went to one of these. The baby was, how old? 6 months. And they totally immersed this little baby. Totally immersed. I couldn't believe it. Now, of course, it came up spluttering and so on. But the point I'm making, where the word says, repent and be baptized. Now, how does a six-month-old repent? I'm just saying. So there's kind of an age where it's an age of understanding, where the child knows that, you know, it's doing right or wrong. And folks, so with baptism, it's an ordinance. We need to be baptized. We need to be totally immersed. And it is a public declaration, you know, other people can see it as well. But this is a show of hands. You know, if we're having a baptism, how many of us would like to be baptized? Okay. So you guys have been in a good church for a long time. Huh? Was there one? Cool. Okay. We're going to talk about it because I know James also spoke to me the other day. So we're going to organize that. And before you get back to New Zealand, all right, we'll make sure that you are baptized. Praise the Lord. Before winter. Before winter. All right. So it really symbolizes a new life in Christ. And also, as I said, it's a public declaration. And it demonstrates that we are part of a body, that we're part of a family, that we're not alone, and that we have the support of our brothers and sisters as well. And really, the church exists to provide fellowship for believers. Is that right? In Ephesians 2:19, it says, that is why you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. So again, baptism is a public declaration, and it's something that we just need to do. Amen. What's the next number? Task that fulfills your purpose, number 5 for 2026, and what is it? Teaching them to obey. Now, this is interesting. The word we often use to describe this would be discipleship. Is that right? Discipleship. So the church exists, right? And remember that you and I are the church. The church exists to educate God's people in His ways. And discipleship is really a process of helping people to become more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So Colossians 1:28 says, we spread the message about Christ as we instruct and as we teach everyone. So everyone needs to be instructed and taught. And folks, we, each one of us can participate in that. But then it tells us how we do it. How do we teach people? It says, with all wisdom there is. So when we are interacting with people and, you know, we're encouraging people, we need to make sure that we've tuned into the Lord and that we've asked Him to give us the wisdom to say what we need to say and not to say things that we shouldn't say. So I was saying earlier on, we don't take the Bible and kind of bash people over the head with it. We inquire of the Lord and we minister to people. We speak to people asking the Lord for incredible wisdom so that we can be an encouragement to them. So it says, with all wisdom there is, we want to present everyone as mature Christian people. And that's what we need to be doing. So the church must not only reach people, but the church needs to teach people as well. We teach them and we reach them. And this, again, is a responsibility of each and every single one of us. So, just a question again. Who are you fellowshipping with on a regular basis? I'm not asking for an answer, but I'm just saying, who are you fellowshipping with? Who is it that you have, who are you mentoring? Is there somebody that you can assist? It says in Ephesians 4:12, let me read it. The purpose is to prepare God's people to serve, to build up the body of Christ. This is to continue until all of us are united in our faith and in our in our knowledge about God's Son until we become mature, until we measure up to Christ, who is the standard. Oh, thank you. Thanks so much, David. I didn't know it, I was that croaky. So, folks, the church, right? The church exists for us. And the purpose of the church has not changed. The purpose of the church, remember, Jesus decided what the purpose of the church, and it hasn't changed in all these years. So the church still exists to demonstrate where we need to demonstrate our love towards God, where we love people, and that the people that we love need to know, they need to feel the love, that it's a genuine thing. And also, the church exists to tell people about Jesus, which is that evangelism, to teach them about Jesus. We need to make sure that we do that. And also to baptize them, because that is an ordinance that Jesus put in there. And of course, that's a demonstration of family and relationship as well. And every, now this is interesting. Every church in this area, for example, will differ in how these tasks are accomplished. I don't know if you've noticed, but you have probably passed 5 or 6 or 7 churches to get here. And you know that other people are passing here to go to another church? Okay, that's just the way it is. But the bottom line is that there should be absolutely no disagreement about what we are called to do as believers. We just do things differently. Churches do, you know, we do things differently. But we need to know the purpose of the church. We need to know what the mission of the church is. And every member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be involved, folks. We need to be involved. We need to participate and basically do what the Lord Jesus Christ has told us to do. I said we're going to be moving into our mission field. Are you excited about that? When those doors open, our mission field is right there. So let us choose, when we go through those doors, to be effective believers, effective Christians, and boldly do what the Lord has instructed us to do. When we do get together here, like here on a Sunday morning, Saturday mornings, and midweeks, wherever it is, all of these things are preparation times for what you and I should be doing out there. It's as simple as that. And if this is not the case, really, we become what we would call consumer Christians. And we don't want to be consumer Christians. You know what a consumer Christian is? Okay? It's what can I get? What can I get? Instead of what can I give? And the focus becomes more on, Lord Jesus, won't you bless me and make me happy? That I have a happy life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, please, Lord. You know, it's all about me. It's all about you. You know? And yet, the Word of God says that the church exists for other people. And yet, many believers, you know, make it all about them and, you know, their lifestyle and so on. So the focus becomes on what I can get from Jesus to make me happy instead of going out and doing what we've been called to do. Folks, when we do, as I close here, when we do what He has called us to do, we will receive His grace. That unmerited favor. We will receive His favor. We will receive His provision, His mercy. We're going to receive all of these things. We will receive that peace that surpasses all understanding. We will experience His joy and His blessings and His insight and His wisdom and His understanding, all of these things. So as I close, and some of you are saying, about time, I'm asking a few questions. How committed are you to Jesus? This is between you and Him. How committed are you to doing what He says we must do? How committed are you to this church, to the local church, in terms of your time, your efforts, your skills, your finances, and all of those things that are part of the local church? How committed are you to that? How committed are you to helping extend His kingdom? And I really believe, you know, the beginning of a year, like we are right now, is a good time for us to be asking these questions. The beginning of the year is a good time for us to commit to making the necessary adjustments that need to be made so that we can move forward in this year and do basically what He's called us to do. So folks, this morning, let us choose to go out there and do it all wholeheartedly for Him, the way that He wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Amen.